This is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
One teeny tiny question while we enjoy the cinema.
Yeah.
So while we're here, who's going to get all the work done to make this week's DPD show?
Good question. The answer is overachieving producers, like James Kim, who I actually convinced to create a new segment for us so we can watch movies and scarf popcorn.
Genius.
Thank you. Yes, James came up with this idea called Double Take. He basically talks to a comedian about a joke that bombed.
That never happens to me.
Oh.
They call me One Take Tobin.
If I asked your co-host, Kathy, would she agree with you?
You don't need to bother her. She's away. She's on business. Mm. Just keep going.
I had a feeling you're going to say that. All right, well, here's how this segment works. A comedian, in this case, Joel Kim Booster, a funny man from New York, breaks down a single joke that bombed and then talks about how they reworked it. So one of the first jokes that Joel wrote was about the time he got this little crimp and curl pony for Xmas as a kid. Do you know these things? They have like long hair.
I think I've seen it before, yes.
Yeah. And once he asked for this gift, his mother could no longer deny he was gay.
Pretty surefire sign that maybe your son is gay.
Yes. So Joel brought two recordings of this joke. One performed in his early days as a comic in Chicago, and another when he did a stand-up set on the Conan O'Brien show. Heads up for listeners, the Chicago audio is a little rough because it was recorded on an iPhone.
It was 1994. It was Christmas. And like every other six-year-old boy, I only wanted one thing for Christmas. The crimp and curl pony. And I got it, ladies and gentlemen. I can remember being 6 years old and sitting at the kitchen table crimping and curling. My dad turning to my mom and being like, "What? This is a girl's toy." And my mom turning to my dad and being like, "Well, you know, Ken, my brother Bob, he got baby dolls when he was growing up, and now he's a pediatrician." And my dad was like, "What do you think he's gonna be, a horse hairstylist?" Like, which is a fair question. And I can remember being 6 years old and sitting at that kitchen table, listening to that conversation, and for the first time, like, realizing what I was, and realizing and wishing for the first time that I could be a horse hairstylist.
Oh boy.
I never wished that was a game. That was the lead up to that joke.
What are you talking about? What? Oh God, that was really hard. I will say the meat and potatoes of that joke has stayed the same.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Oh wait, are we going to listen to the other one?
Yeah, now? We will in a bit. But
okay.
With that said, yeah, I can tell within that joke. There was stumbling in there.
Yeah, there's a good joke in there, you can tell, but it's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, that last bit where it's the punchline, the final punchline, and then you stumble on it.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
How were you feeling in that moment?
I don't know. I think I probably felt great, honestly. Okay. I honestly was so delusional back then. I don't remember feeling poorly about this. I mean, I uploaded it to YouTube afterwards, which I thankfully, like a year later, I had the good sense to put it on unlisted and even more thankfully, just saved it in general so we could do this horrific exercise right now on this podcast. But no, I don't remember feeling especially bad about it. But I will say, like, the pony joke in its current form is my favorite joke. And it is the first joke I remember ever writing that other stand-ups that I respected would come up to me after a show and be like, "That is a great joke."
Wow.
And that's, it's sort of crazy that I found this terrible clip of it. It makes me less proud of it.
So now let's hear the evolution. 4 years later, you're on Conan and you tell the same joke about your mom who is in denial about you coming out and you being gay. And this is kind of the moment where she finally has to realize that you are gay. So now let's play what you did 4 years later on Conan.
I was pretty gay, and it was never more apparent than Christmas 1996. I wanted what every little boy in the nation wanted for Christmas. You guys know what it is. The Crimp and Curl Pony by the Cabbage Patch Company. My mom was super cool. She got it for me. I opened it up on Christmas morning. I just started crimping and curling right away. My dad, less enthused, he looked at my mom and he was like, "Janet, what the hell? Like, why would you get him this girl's toy? This is a toy for girls." And my mom looked at my dad and was like, "Well, Ken, my brother Bob, he used to get baby dolls for Christmas, and now he's a pediatrician, so..." plus. And my dad, like, rightfully looked at my mom and was like, what the hell do you think he's gonna be, a f***ing horsehair stylist? Like, what's the end game here, Janet? And, you know, I remember my dad saying that. And I remember thinking, is that a profession? Is that something that I can do? Like, does it require a certificate? Like, give me the full story, Dad! All right, I'm talking.
There's so much more confidence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? I was thinking about this joke and listening to the differences here. And so my background is in theater, and I was an actor for a long time and a writer, and then I started doing this. And when I did it in Chicago, I was so much closer to that world. And it's so ironic because the thing that really makes this joke, I think, click into place for me, or made it click into place for me, was when I embraced the sort of inherent theatricality of this joke, which is there are characters. And I think, like, adding the cry at the end was such a pivotal moment for me in this joke. Because, you know, YouTube comments are notoriously savage, and mine are as well. But I will say the one thing that saves me from a lot of people's ire is they say, you know, most of this set sucked, but that moment really got me. He really tricked me into thinking that he was about to cry on television. So I will say it saved me, but...
Wow.
I think adding, like, sort of embracing that part of myself and the part that said at the beginning of my stand-up career of being like, no, you know, leave the theater behind, you're a stand-up comic now, it was actually a wrong impulse on my part, because I think some of my best jokes sort of come from a place of theatricality.